Good evening. I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Maundy Thursday, April 1st. Maundy Thursday is a night for remembering, and our focus this evening is on the Last Supper, that meal Jesus shared with his disciples in the night in which he was betrayed, the institution of Holy Communion. I look forward to being able to share the sacrament with you soon. If you're around the Green area and you're comfortable being with us in in-person worship, our Holy Week services will continue on Good Friday tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and then on Saturday we'll have an Easter Vigil service, sort of a time of storytelling, looking at God's faithfulness and the way God works in the Bible through water. That will be at 6 p.m., Saturday 6 p.m. The nature of those two services, Good Friday and Easter Vigil, doesn't really lend itself to an online video well, but I will be sharing my sermon on Easter Sunday, Easter morning, at 9:30. That'll be posted online, and of course we'll have worship here at 9:30. Let's begin tonight's Maundy Thursday service, with prayer. God of the covenant, as we celebrate the beginning of the Paschal feast, we come to the table of the Lord, in whom we have salvation, life, and resurrection. Renew the power of this mystery in our service to one another and to you, so that with Christ we may pass from this life to the glory of your kingdom. Amen. Let me set the stage for you before we get into today's scripture readings. So on Sunday, last Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem. Maybe you saw the video we posted of the ABCs of Holy Week. Kind of fun, a fun way for the Sunday school kids to share the whole story of this week. But it begins with Palm Sunday. And Jesus enters Jerusalem and he's cheered on by this crowd of people who honor him and welcome him as the Messiah, the Savior, lining his path with palm branches and throwing their cloaks down in front of him for his donkey to walk on, sort of a red carpet welcome. And they're shouting, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They're so excited to see Jesus and to welcome him as their hero, their Savior. Then, Sunday night, Jesus spends the night in Bethany, 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, probably with his friend Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha, remember them. That's where he'll stay for several nights, and he kind of goes back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem. So Monday, he clears the money changers out of the temple in Jerusalem. Tuesday, he's teaching on the Mount of Olives. And the Gospels don't really tell us anything for Wednesday, so maybe Jesus is taking some time to rest and to prepare. And then we get to today, Thursday, the first day of the Passover holiday. It begins in the evening, as the Jewish calendar does. Before we get to Jesus' celebration of the Passover, which we will call the Last Supper, we're going back to Exodus, much earlier in the Bible, to hear the story of the first Passover, which is what Jesus and his friends are remembering and celebrating during Holy Week on that Thursday night. So, back to Exodus. The Israelites, the people of God, have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and they've cried out to God, and God has heard their cry. And God has sent Moses to rescue them, liberate them. Moses, the messenger from God, keeps asking the Pharaoh, the king of Israel, to let the people go. Let God's people go. Let the Israelites, the Hebrews, leave. And Pharaoh says, no. And then God sends a plague, a sign of God's power, to try to convince Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, yes, I will let you go. Take away this plague. So God takes away the plague, and then Pharaoh changes his mind. And this cycle happens 9 times, with the plagues getting worse and worse each time. Darkness, the river turning to blood, flies, boils, it just gets worse and worse. And it gets harder and harder for Pharaoh to ignore. And that's where we pick up the story today, with the 10th plague, what will turn out to be the final plague. So here are some scripture excerpts from Exodus chapters 11 and 12. And you can read the whole story there if you want. I've just picked some sections to share with you. From Exodus 11 and 12. Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go through Egypt. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the firstborn of the female slave who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Then there will be a loud cry throughout the whole land of Egypt, such as never been nor will ever be again. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Israel I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go, select lambs for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood in the basin. None of you shall go outside the door of your house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. When he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you down. You shall observe this rite as a perpetual ordinance for you and your children. When you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this observance. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed down and worshipped. The Israelites went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his officials and all the Egyptians, and there was a loud cry in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron in the night and said, 'Rise up, go away from my people, both you and the Israelites. Go and worship the Lord as you said. Take your flocks and your herds as you said and be gone.'" Here ends the reading. And the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples went and set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I saw a meme the other day of a text message chain with Jesus and one of the disciples asking, "Are we still on for the Last Supper tonight?" And the response, "The what now? What do you mean, Last Supper?" And I appreciate that meme because remember, the disciples don't really know what's coming, what's going on in this story. They don't know what's coming next. We know the story of Holy Week. We know that Easter comes after Good Friday, but the disciples don't have that benefit. Jesus has tried to tell them, but they have not understood. And we wouldn't either in their position. They won't understand the significance of this meal until at least after the resurrection, looking back. And for that matter, I think it's fair to say we today still do not completely understand everything that happened at that Last Supper, everything Jesus was doing. The disciples expect this to be a normal holiday meal. We all have holiday meal traditions. I'm sure you have holiday meal traditions. So you know what that's like, right? There's certain traditional food that you eat for different holidays. So for my family at Christmas, there's always lefse, and Easter always has ham. Kristen went and bought a small half ham today because that was all the store had left, but bought a ham for us to eat on Easter. Turkey at Thanksgiving. We have these traditions around holiday meals. So do the disciples. As good, faithful Jewish people, they celebrate the Passover festival, the festival of unleavened bread, every year, just like God told them to in Exodus, in that story we heard. These rituals are laid out to help the people remember God's faithfulness and the miraculous way that God rescued them, rescued their ancestors from slavery in Egypt. And all the food has meaning. The unleavened bread is to remember that the Israelites had to eat in a hurry to be ready to go before Pharaoh changed his mind. The lamb is sacrificed as a reminder of the lamb's blood that went on the doorposts of the houses so the angel of death would pass over the Israelites' house and only strike down the firstborn of the Egyptians. As I said before, this is a night to remember. There's other rituals too, like bitter herbs, the hyssop, to remember the bitter suffering that their ancestors had endured in Egypt. But all this is familiar to these disciples and to Jesus. I imagine the traditions are actually comforting to them, sort of an oasis, something familiar and normal in the midst of a chaotic and busy week. And then, as they're gathered there around the table, Jesus does something strange. Jesus changes the meaning of the night. He messes with the reason for the season, as we might say. The point is still about God's faithfulness. This Maundy Thursday is a night for us to remember. But Jesus makes it about much more than the Passover meal. He takes a loaf of the bread, the unleavened bread, the reminder of that flight from Egypt, and he blesses it and breaks it to share. But when he gives it to them, he says, "Take, this is my body." And then taking a cup of wine, he gives thanks to God. And as he shares it with them, he doesn't talk about what God did in the past for their ancestors. He doesn't talk about that familiar story that they talk about every Passover, that story of God rescuing the Israelites from bondage in Egypt and leading them through the Red Sea and across the wilderness desert to the Promised Land. Instead, Jesus says, "This is my blood of the covenant." When we say the words of institution, and of course that label, the words of institution, simply means the story of how Jesus instituted this, how he started something new. When we say the words of institution, we mostly go from Paul's version in 1 Corinthians, which doesn't exactly match the wording that Mark has in this gospel reading, but the meaning is the same. Jesus says that somehow, in a mystery the disciples don't understand yet, he is present in the bread and the wine, that this is his body and his blood. And when we share this meal as God's people, even 2,000 years later, we remember Jesus' presence. We remember and we trust that when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood," he means what he says. He promises to show up in these common, ordinary bits of bread and wine or crackers and grape juice, whatever it is, wafers, morsels of bread on a toothpick, prepackaged tiny squares that kind of look like they belong in breakfast cereal, given for you. Jesus gives his body and blood, his very self, for you, for me, for the world. When we share this meal together as Jesus told us to do, whatever it looks like, we believe, we trust that Jesus is present in, with, under the bread and the wine, the only meal that can ever truly satisfy our hunger. Jesus himself becomes the Lamb of God, bearing our sins, sacrificed on our behalf. God will pass over the punishment we deserve, the death our sin rightfully leads to, instead offering us grace, forgiveness, mercy, love. This is the new covenant, the new promise God makes with us, a covenant that depends on God. God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God for you, God for me. God's own self given for the sinners, for the obedient and for the disobedient, for the guilty and the ashamed, for the people that we agree with and are happy to see when we gather for the Lord's Supper, and for those whom we wouldn't invite if it were up to us. God given even for Jesus, through Jesus, given even for Judas, the betrayer, who's at that table with them. God who doesn't give up, but who gives grace and love more generously than we can comprehend, Jesus giving himself. The disciples, they don't understand it, not yet. Certainly not until they see Jesus raised from the dead and ascending into heaven and they grasp who he truly is. And still today for us, exactly how Jesus is present in bread and wine is a mystery of faith. A mystery to be trusted, believed, received in faith, rather than explained or fully understood. As we celebrate communion, this meal that gathers us together as the church, whenever we're able physically to do that and to be together, we come to the table where Jesus is both the host and the meal, the living bread from heaven, our nourishment for life eternal. And through this meal received in faith, through this little tiny foretaste of the feast to come in heaven, the feast to come in God's kingdom, through Jesus, God offers us grace, strength to continue through life. Christ gives himself for us, for you. This is a night to remember. Amen.